Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See more Tennessee here. We will see Tennessee on Matthew Morrell. We've seen Tennessee offer Jordan Wilmore, the 7-foot four kid that's over at Whitehaven. He's going to try to capitalize on this success.
I am not worried about them beating a Memphis.
I feel like it'll be the same way it was for Bruce Pearl.
No doubt.
Who, despite all that success, still couldn't get his foot in. And people in Memphis loved him.
No doubt. They loved
when he came into high school gyms, and he didn't get a dang thing until he got, Chris Jones at the very end, and that didn't work out.
And Memphis wasn't recruiting him.
Correct. They couldn't because, at that point, they felt like they were safe with Joe.
Yeah.
So Joe and Chris weren't going to
exist. So talk about JP, didn't he? Oh, no, that was from
Arizona. JP went to Arizona.
Yeah. God, can we forget that?
JP committed to Lute Olson.
Mm-hmm.
Then was it Vanderbilt for a split second?
Pearl tried time after time. Couldn't get in.
I don't know.
No, he went straight for me. He took a year off.
He tried time after time, and he would come to high school gyms, and, man, he would have the people in there eating out of the palm of his hand. We loved Bruce Pearl kind of like as that villain guy that you like to – a villain that you kind of like to hate. And he'd come in and – and it never helped him. He didn't get a one. And so I'm telling you right now, that's what I'm saying. I ain't worried about Rick Barnes coming in here and taking over Memphis recruiting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Penny's got that on lock.
Yeah, so I'm in a weird spot with it because I've said time and time again, I like this Tennessee team.
You won't even vote. Like, it's silly.
I can't vote, man. I can't bring myself to do it.
Well, it's probably the right thing. We should be voting on Bennett's poll because Bennett's with us.
But I like this Tennessee team, but
that ship has sailed.
I hate the way the fans are acting. Like, I really hate the way the Tennessee fans are acting.
That's just the Memphis guy in you, and not going to understand it.
I just think they're being petulant about it. It's like, you know, enjoy your food, man. You're the number one team in the country. You know, how often has that happened?
Enjoy your food.
Instead, you're like, you're coming at me and my mentions. What? Y'all ain't got nothing better to do? You know, I mean... Go watch some film. Go watch some replays.
They just letting you know they're number one.
You know, go watch the Gonzaga game. That was fun.
John, you screenshot all this stuff. You'll be talking to them again come next year in Knoxville, dude.
In fairness to Tennessee fans, if we are like back next year and ranked high in the poll, we're gonna give it to them, especially if we beat them.
Tell them what you're gonna do. Tell them what Memphis is gonna do to them next year in Knoxville, Ben, and put it down on wax right now.
Oh, I mean, come on, James Wiseman is gonna have 20-15, and we're going to get a W. Yeah, come on.
Ooh, you hear that, Balls fans?
I mean, come on, dude.
Bennett's calling his shot right
now. Number one
player in
the country.
Calling his shot.
20-15, he says. Hey, Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are gone.
They'll be gone.
Exactly.
James Wiseman might have 30-15. They are bringing in the five-star guard. I mean,
he ain't going to be there to stop James Wiseman.
But no, I mean, that's about it. I mean, so they're going to take a big step back.
They're not both seniors, though, right? What's Grant? Is Grant a senior? I know he dabbled with putting that foot in the water.
I think they are both seniors.
You sure?
I mean, I think they're both. I mean, nobody's saying they're coming back.
Oh, I know. Because, well, I think most people think that both of them have a shot in this year's draft because
I don't
draft
have
is
I don't
so...
I don't have their classifications in front of me.
Well,
Jason.
Dang it, John! I thought you were quicker than me on that. You should be able to pull up the Tennessee roster pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I want to tell you one of them ain't a senior.
John,
don't say that. You can't play that clip yet. You can't play that clip yet. I mean, they might be both seniors, Jason. And if that's the case, you're going to be on them black and milds.
Disappointed.
I got to look this up, man. I got to look this up. Grant Williams is. He is a...
Junior, fool.
Junior, okay. All right, he's a junior.
John.
Admiral Schofield's a senior.
Give me that one. Most people think Grant can still take a jump, though.
Right. Isn't that what most people think?
In a bad draft.
Yeah, he's going to be SEC Player of the Year, right? You know? So
the guy's a stud.
Yeah. But I enjoy watching Tennessee play basketball.
Me too, man.
I don't enjoy the fan reaction. So
They got everything. The thing I like about him, John, is that what you wish Memphis could be in terms of mentally and discipline-wise, tough enough, right? In key moments, it's hurt them. Cincinnati, the decision-making, right? Making, when adversity hits, making the right decision, that comes down to mental toughness. Tennessee's got all of it in a all of it wrapped up and in a box.
They do.
They're unflappable, and that's been the fun part of watching them this year, is if they'll ever get rattled.
Yeah.
So far, no. We'll see if
it'll be a fun game. It'll be a hell of a game on
Cal ain't lost
Saturday.
Two in a row at Rupp.
Yeah.
He has not.
So that will be fun for sure. All right, we'll come back. Lots to get to in the rundown, including front office change in the NBA in the Western Conference. We'll jump into that when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day's coming.
Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner is where, you know, you're always going to say between 50 and 80% off mattresses and furniture. Our man Michael's been in the business for over 18 years, and as a result, Sleepy Z's has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They've been voted Memphis' most best mattress store for four straight years by the Commercial Appeal. I don't want to discount that fourth year because it happened. And that run is not going to end anytime soon.
That's right. Going to be 5, 6, 7, 8 straight years. Sleepy Z's is an authorized Serta mattress and Simmons Beautyrest mattress dealer, and they sell and specialize in the Serta Perfect Sleeper and the Serta Eye Comfort, as well as the Beautyrest Silver and Platinum. Michael's also got the Beautyrest Black line as well, so every line of sleep, you can imagine Michael's got you covered, and he's got you covered with some great deals. You mentioned you heard this on Jason and John. He's going to get you that additional 10% off everything in the store, whatever you want. They're located at 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, right there in Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next to Hollywood Feed, or you can visit them online, see the whole selection over at SleepyZZZS.com, Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. That's important.
All right, Gary Parrish is going to join us at 12:25. We will continue the Tennessee-Kentucky conversation with him at 12:25. You have stepped in it, Jason. You have entered the hornet's nest with Tennessee fans, and I don't know if you're going to be able to make it out alive.
Oh, my Lord.
They have officially engaged you. On Twitter.
What, like two Vols fans?
Now, are you going to go back at them? Are you going to respond? Are you going to entertain them?
About what?
One guy said you had a, quote, diarrhea take.
Pretty good.
Why don't you read the rest of it?
Well, I don't remember the rest. I
know you don't, right? Only the part that makes you and Bennett giggle.
Well, what was the rest of it? Something about attendance.
Yeah, how great their attendance is.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I mean, I don't know.
So I've been saying anything. My whole point is they do not have the tradition and history that Memphis is not. When I talk about upper hand, you think of Memphis as a basketball school. You do not think of Tennessee as a basketball school, and that will continue to be the case until you guys have won for longer. Prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
I respect what Rick Barnes is doing. Take your little triggered selves and sit back down until the game tomorrow.
Wow. Whoa.
The Deacon's taken off the...
I've given Rick Barnes and that team all the respect in the world.
You've taken off the...
There is no comparison in basketball. And stop acting into this point, since we're going to do this.
Yes.
All right, John, you're right. They should stop talking about Memphis and that big win over Penny Hardaway in his first season. He's got half Tubby players, half his players. Talk about it next year. Beat him next year in Knoxville with Wiseman. Then come and run your mouth at me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what you've been wanting to say. That's what you – not this whole, I respect what Rick Barnes is doing, blah, blah, blah.
But that is the truth.
Oh, I know.
Just like you said, I like watching them.
But their fans –
what I respect more is their unflappability. You cannot –
their fans make it hard to enjoy it, don't they?
I'm just saying, like, stop. Don't go too far with it. I'm probably – rep your hood. Rep your team. Like Gary said, rep your hood, man, all that.
Yes.
Rep your team. But just don't go too far.
And don't you right? ever come
don't
at the
start
Deacon
acting like y'all some basketball
some diarrhea
school
tank stuff.
You're doing a good job, Vols fans.
No more games.
You feel better now? You do, don't you?
You apparently you feel more better about it than I do. I don't like going into spasms like that.
Enjoy it.
It's not godly.
Sometimes you got to take you got to take the deacon hat off.
I didn't curse.
You know you got. What do you wear? Is there like a deacon thing you wear at church or no?
No, John. First Sunday we'll come suited and booted in black.
Oh, just in a suit.
Yeah,
I got
it's a tradition.
Okay.
The deacons come suited and booted, but we're lax. We're come. You come.
Yeah.
Come as you are.
I owe you a visit.
And yeah, was getting there.
Yep. I do owe you a visit.
Hadn't seen you since the Raider season ended. Yep. Remember what that bet was, John?
Well, we didn't put a date on it.
Mm.
Can you tell the listeners what the bet was?
The bet was that if the Bears had a better record than the Raiders, which at the time I felt pretty good about, obviously, if the Bears had a better record, I would come to Jason's church.
Now, why haven't you come and seen God yet?
Well.
Yeah.
It's
the reasoning.
There is no good reason.
You think we're going to ask for all your money in tithing. That's why. You're uncomfortable in the Psalms. When the Psalms start, John's going to be there.
I am uncomfortable with that.
We're going to make you very comfortable, John.
John,
and we're not going to expect you to know the Psalms.
There's a hymnal in the pews, right?
Well, like, we don't have
I'm not
pews.
Singing along.
We have chairs. Because
that was not part of the bet. Yeah. I don't sing.
You get so comfortable about this.
Huh?
That's what we want. We want you to be comfortable. And that's why we would want you to come in your Raiders outfit.
I'm not going to come in my Raiders outfit.
It won't be about the Raiders.
So, let me ask you a question.
Saving souls.
I'd like you to go this
for
Sunday.
For the kingdom, John. So
you would? You'd like
I'd like
me to
you
go
to
this?
Go this Sunday. It's time. The bet's
you
been
need to pay
done
that debt.
Long enough.
I know.
Yep.
The thing is, it ain't a debt to me. What you don't realize is a debt to the man.
It's a debt to God.
So you owe this to him.
I haven't been to church in a long time, man.
Man, why are you so scared? You're with your boy. Like, it ain't
going to let those demons
you're the deacon,
out this
though.
Sunday.
You're the deacon. You know what I mean? You're going to be up there doing your thing. Are you
do
gonna,
what you did with Dan Hurley and just report what I did and put the times.
Are you going to give a sermon?
Jason went up and asked for tithes and offering.
Are you going to give a sermon?
Deacon, now, I don't give a sermon. We have a pastor who does that every Sunday.
Okay, you don't do that, though. Do you get to say something?
John, I really want you to not be uncomfortable. That's the key.
I think
that is the key for so many, and was me before. And I'm not trying to push it to the Lord. The Lord's pulling on you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to end it with, pay your debt to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You lost that bet. Raiders were terrible.
And this church is in Raleigh?
Yes.
Okay. Man.
We're on Raleigh LaGrange, baby.
That was just a bad bet. That was one of the worst I've ever made. Maybe it will produce one of the best moments in my entire life, though.
When are you going to go?
I will go, man.
No, when? We need to lock down a date. Let's do this.
Quit being so scary,
the new
man.
NFL season's going to be here before we know it.
We're
not
going to ask you for a check
debt.
For $1,000, John.
And nobody drinks cyanide or anything like that?
Wow.
Now, that was a little bit disrespectful.
Uh-huh.
That was a little bit disrespectful.
I'm just asking.
We don't do that there.
Well, some churches do.
We're going to drink a little bit of grape juice on communion. That's first Sundays, though. So you won't be there. You won't be there for that. If you come this week.
If I come this week, it'll be communion?
No communion.
If I come this week, it won't be.
You don't have to drink or eat anything.
Okay. All right. Can I bring Sam?
We would love for you to bring Sam. Why do you want her to be as uncomfortable as you?
No, she.
So it's shared and it's not all
no,
on you,
she
right?
She pushes. She stopped. But there was a time where she really wanted to go to church. And I resist. I'm just being honest. I resisted it. I have for a long time.
Come on home.
I guess I'm like the Daily
Memphian.
I'm the Daily Memphian. I'm coming home this weekend.
You'll have a good time. And good best thing, this isn't one of those long.
How long does it
have
last?
A short black service. Most of them are known for the joke is black services go on long.
Yeah.
You know, y'all get in and out of church and we go on.
What time is the service?
Service starts at 10. You'll be out of there by about 11:20.
That's a long service.
No.
Not
dude,
really.
That's not long.
It's not that long.
And listen, most of it's just me getting up. I go do the tithe thing. Then we do a little song. Then we come back. Going to get the message from pastor. Come back. Then we're going to go do testimony. If anybody got testimony, you want to say what God's done for you, then you're out of there. A lot of times it only goes an hour, John. You probably get a fast day.
Okay.
Message will be short.
All right. Well, I'll talk to Sam.
again. I'm not pressuring you. We don't want you to come against your will.
You.
We don't want you to come against your
will. You owe a debt. You need to pay.
But I do want you to come comfortable because nobody's going to touch your ass for your money. You'll be fine. And actually, I'm going to tell folks, John not included this week. He doesn't have to do tithing and offering. So he's comfortable.
Okay, I have to ask you one more thing.
Because I think that's what it is. I have to ask you one more thing. It's your money.
I have to ask you just one more thing. Are there going to be people that look like me there?
How important is that to you?
Not very. I just want to know what I'm getting into.
Do you, when you look at me, do you see black?
No.
Do you see a brother?
I see a brother.
I'll be there sitting with you on Sunday.
Do you hear what he's saying, man?
You'll be surrounded.
I'm going to be
my
the
point,
only white person there.
You will be surrounded, John, not by black people.
Yes.
Right? Not by a crowd that may not have a white. When we've had white, we've had white folks at our church.
Okay.
Not regularly. You will not be surrounded by a race. You will be surrounded by a family that loves you.
All right. Well, that's a good selling
there you
point.
Go. That's All what right. makes you comfortable.
All right. Yeah. But the answer is yes. You will be the only white person there.
And the answer is you're not coming Sunday. We'll keep you posted,
pathetic.
Listeners.
All right.
You got to pay that debt though.
I know. I'm going to. Let's pay. Let's just do.
It ain't about you and Trey. It's about you and that debt.
Let's just do the rundown first.
Now, it's the Rundown, the biggest midday stories from Jason and John, everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
The New Orleans Pelicans have fired general manager Dell Demps. They did it earlier today. They are going to bring in a new top basketball executive to figure out the Anthony Davis situation and to sift through all of that. Now, Dell Demps had been there for almost 10 years, which is amazing when you think about it.
Yep.
Only three trips to the playoffs, and only one time did they advance past the first round. Of course, this always becomes a part of it, right? The Pelicans, and did they surround Anthony with enough when he was there? Did they do enough? I honestly, and I've had this argument with many people, I think the Pelicans did about as much as you can ask of a small market to surround Anthony with competitive pieces. They made the trade, Jason, with Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah.
They brought in Jrue Holiday. You know, they tried with, you know, maybe they overpaid Solomon Hill and they overpaid each one more. But I really believe they, you know, Mirotić, right?
They tried with Mirotić, yeah.
They did things around Anthony Davis, and unfortunately, it wasn't enough.
Yeah. Grizz tried things too.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You get judged on how it ends up.
But who would you say whose attempts were better, the Grizzlies or the Pelicans?
Oh, Pelicans by far.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
actually
oh,
brought
yeah,
in
sure.
like warm bodies.
And there's only in the West, there's only so high you can get right now. Let's be real about that too. All that said, John, it's still, I told you when Rondo left, I thought what a difference it was going to make. I mean, that guy, when you got playoff Rondo, I mean, that's a difference maker.
No question. Rondo's another one. You know, Rondo's another guy they brought in.
You could have kept him and maybe be a little bit more in the mix. But again, there is a ceiling in the West. There was always going to be a ceiling. And I'm telling you right now, I mean, this mentioned it to you earlier when you mentioned the news on earlier in the show. I mean, I don't know how this isn't ownership telling Dell Demps, you blew it. You should have taken the Lakers offer. We don't think you're going to get more.
So, according to
Woj, we got a mess.
New Orleans owner Gail Benson has been angry over the Davis trade demand and her belief that, quote, outside forces are trying to push the franchise into decisions that don't make sense for them. Now, I will say this.
Well, that would have been Dell Demps' take, and he was holding out.
Dell
like, so that's,
said, we're not
kowtowing. That's his view. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure how much, the Bensons are locked into the Saints. You know, that's another part of it.
Who still feel cheated by the NFL.
But her mandate has been to, quote, take back control from outside forces. She's been adamant with the organization to find a pathway to sustainable winning in one of the league's smallest markets and plans to be aggressive in pursuing the best available candidates to oversee basketball operations. Among preliminary possible candidates, league sources tell ESPN, Grizzlies, John, I'm just kidding. I don't even want to go any further.
Man, you have Bennett Biden pulling out his popcorn.
Former Cleveland general manager David Griffin, who would be great, probably.
Yeah, he's just been sitting there at NBA TV.
Yep.
And waiting to get a job again.
Yep. So that's
what about Bobby Marks?
Is he now? Well, no, he's never been a general manager.
Well, I know he's been a front office guy. That's what I'm saying. Is he ever going to get back into that? And would he be a guy down the road? I mean, people have joked about it here, but
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like just you. I love Bobby Marks.
Dude, Bobby comes on here and makes us smarter.
He does.
I know that doesn't necessarily translate to success in the front office, but
I agree. I'm with you. Yeah. I don't know, though. I guess not.
He's sharp.
I guess not.
Yeah, so that's the latest in New Orleans. Dale Demps is out. Alvin Gentry safe for now, but you got to think that, you know, he's been there forever too. New general manager comes in, probably wants to get his own guys in there. So that's probably only a matter of time. But a shakeup in New Orleans. Dale Demps is out.
Next story.
All right, which one y'all more excited about? Memphis Express? All aboard, as John says.
That's what they say. John doesn't say that.
Who was it that said wheels up again?
Sorry, there's a flight overhead.
Yeah,
overhead.
Wheels up.
Alex.
Alex. That's who should adopt right now.
You told him that they would hire him, and now he's ready to, you know.
He's ready to work.
He's ready to apply. So you're gonna have to reconcile that somehow.
I'll work on that with the Express, Alex. Are you more excited about that? Are you more excited about NBA All-Star Weekend? Okay, let me rephrase, because I don't like the how long it's taking you. You more curious to see?
I'm more curious.
You're more interested in which one?
I'm more interested in the Express. I've seen All-Star Weekend. I know what All-Star Weekend is.
That was my point. Like,
what?
It used to be mean. As a kid growing up, All-Star Weekend was huge for me. Nowadays, and even with – and look, I'm excited for Jaren. I'm excited for Mike Conley, too.
Yeah, dude, but I mean, come on.
It's like – I don't get up for it anymore, man.
Dude. I have lost interest in the dunk contest.
I'm kind of with John, that I'm kind of, you know, more curious about how this Express thing will turn out, just because dunk contest. Miles, I want to see Miles Bridges dunk. Okay,
This dunk contest sucks.
But otherwise, you telling me All Star Weekend for you, Bennett?
I'm more excited.
What you looking to most?
I'm more excited about seeing Jaren tonight.
Yeah.
Just because I want to,
like I said, that position in those games,
you're gonna be interested.
Okay, just hang on. Can I explain why?
Please do.
The reason I'm excited is because, like, what if he goes out there and dominates that game against like up and coming players in the NBA? That would excite me.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's unlikely that happens.
Okay, though. Well, what if it's unlikely the Express are going to score any points tomorrow?
No, it's not. It's not unlikely, Bennett. It's going to happen. They're going to score. Right.
Too soon to joke about how sorry they are.
And what? And I'll be honest.
Okay,
like,
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's be honest.
A joke.
One matters. One clearly matters.
I want winners.
Jaren Jackson's performance in an All-Star game with rookies and sophomores, that doesn't matter.
Well, if he gets MVP,
I mean, even if he gets MVP, I mean, what does it mean?
Well, then we're proud. I mean, it's something
proud,
you can hold up. You got a
like
rookie it's validation
for the
Grizzlies.
Memphis Express succeeding or failing in Memphis, that matters.
Agreed. I wouldn't take a stance against that.
That's a tangible, you know, economic impact.
You want to see if it's going to last.
You know, yeah.
Let's see about
like,
the impact.
These things, I just feel like the Express, there's more at stake.
Well, Jaren Jackson succeeding in Memphis matters quite a bit, too.
Well, but his success isn't going to be determined by his performance in an All-Star game.
But also, people's interest in him matters a lot for
Again,
that organization. Yeah. That matters just as much.
One thing, though. Because it's Doncic, your boy,
yeah.
Will you watch? I mean, that's the one thing. You look on this team, it's got my boy Lauri Markkanen from that Rising Stars World team, right, that's got all the international guys. You got one, the former Team Thad guy, OG Anunoby from the Raptors.
Yep.
Ayton, I guess, is this because of the Bahamas. Thought that he's on that world team. You look at that world team, it's got Ben Simmons on it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that game may actually be cool. The whole thing about all-star games and bigs in them, they don't typically.
No doubt.
And that's what I'm worried about for Jaren.
I mean, let's talk
about
this.
He just won't have the ball in his hands.
Let's talk about this dunk contest, bro.
Well,
I mean, who's in it?
Exactly.
There's a chance to be something with Miles Bridges.
Dude,
Miles Bridges has done some things this year that...
No, I've seen it.
That
the dunk contest...
Like, blow you out of your seat.
I agree, but the dunk contest has become a joke.
Well, as recently as... What was it? It was...
Levine.
It was my boy Levine and Gordon.
And they don't want to do it anymore because it gets to a point where it's impossible to top. So
if you get some of these crazy, crazy leapers like Bridges... You can maybe possibly see
something. It's Dennis Smith Jr.
Something special.
It's Dennis Smith Jr. It's Miles Bridges, Hamidou Diallo with
You cannot
Thunder.
Get me excited to see John Collins dunk.
And John Collins.
I cannot get excited about seeing John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks. I know he's a good player, but I'm not excited about seeing him dunk.
Honestly, like...
The competitors. That's what's weak. Give me a bunch of Miles Bridges guys jump out of the gym. I know Dennis Smith Jr. can dunk. And
the best three-point shooters participate in the three-point shooting contest, right?
But
the best dunkers don't participate in the dunk contest. That's the fundamental issue.
True.
That's the fundamental problem. So you got to go get the young cats who are just really trying to improve their brand, who are just trying to improve their stock in the NBA and around the country. Hamidou Diallo, dude, really? Really?
I can't get excited.
Who does
about
he play
Hamidou
for, Bennett?
I did not know before
exactly.
before I just looked. Yeah.
Nobody even knows who he plays for. You know, I mean, Miles Bridges is an exciting rookie, right? And I get it. He does great things in a game. John Collins on a team that's trying to lose.
I remember Michael versus Dominique.
I know. You can't even compare.
I remember Vince Carter. Remember that? The Vince Carter
years? Blake Griffin, Dwight Howard.
Vince Carter, like 2000, I think.
That's the other problem is the franchise is represented in the dunk contest. I mean, besides the Knicks, like, and Dennis Smith, like, I mean, come on, man.
It's not Westbrook.
Did Vince Carter win in 2000?
Yeah, that was the one where
put the forearm in, right?
The honey,
is that 2000? It was. Okay, and this man is still playing.
If I was the NBA, I would have begged Vince to be in it this year. And you just play the old highlight packages.
Now, that would have been depressing.
People would tune into the dunk contest to see Vince try to, like, do some highlight dunks.
Look, if he would have failed, it would have been sad.
Next year, y'all will watch when Zion's in it.
If he does it,
I don't think he'll do it.
Y'all know the rookies typically give it a go. Y'all know the rookie ones do. They give it a go, and then they're done. They move on from it.
Maybe. Hopefully. If he's in it, yes, I'll care. But
pay them then.
Well, that's what you got
all the money in the world. Pay him. Put $1 million on and say best dunker in the world get the best amount of it.
I'm going to go Tommy West with it.
Ain't going to get LeBron, but you can get some of the upper ones.
I'm going to go Tommy West with it. Put something in it or do away with it. That's what, like, honestly, you should consider not doing it anymore.
You're right about the three having the top guys, but you don't get that feeling in dunk. It's not even close.
I like watching three-point shooting contests.
They got Steph and Seth in the in the three-point contest.
Who else is in it? Do you have it in front of you?
Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki's in it? That's awesome.
Walker, Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, who's been on fire.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton.
Yeah, so you got the best shooters in the NBA. You know, Clay's not in it, but, I mean, you got the best shooters in the NBA, basically.
Other than Clay.
What was the last relevant dunk contest? Was it Blake?
It was LaVine.
Which was about, Eric Gordon. 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Even then, though, LaVine was not, like, a household name.
He was not. That is true. He was not. And neither was Aaron Gordon, for that matter.
No, that's it was.
But people knew that they could – you know, do that.
Yeah, the names didn't help them at that point. They weren't proven stars yet, but they knew about the jumping ability for both of them. I don't know.
Dunk contest had just become a shell of itself.
You got Mike in the skills competition that's got also John's boy Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, another one of John's boys. Jokic is in that, Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum.
So even that's great.
Who has Memphis ties. Vujovic and Trae Young.
Yeah,
in the skills competition.
That could go any way.
Now, Mike going to have that ball in his hands. You can root for Mike in that one. He can win that.
I mean, there's
the you know, bigs have typically
won. Mike's going to be a heavy underdog in that one. It's going to come down to I think.
Watch out for Luka.
Doncic or Joker, or Joker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I think is going to win that one. But anyways, it is All-Star Weekend. Should be interesting. All right, we'll come back. Gary Parrish is going to join us. We will talk to him about the Kentucky-Tennessee game, Memphis, and more. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And every Friday at this time, we talk to the one and only Gary Parrish. He, of course, is the host of the Gary Parrish Show. Read his work over at CBSSports.com and watch him on television all the time on CBS Sports Network. GP, what's up?
What's up with it? You guys good?
I want you to pretend for one moment that you are a Memphis fan that would somewhat be invested in this game this weekend, which is, of course, Kentucky-Tennessee. I want you to kind of transport yourself into that thinking, into that mindset. Are you even watching the game? And to the extent that you are, who do you, if you had to pick, want to win?
Well, if I'm a Memphis basketball fan, I think for the most part that would mean that I'm also a basketball fan in general. So when you've got a game between two top five teams, including the number one team in the country, and one of the biggest brands in the sport, I think you probably, if you don't have other things to do, you probably have that at least on one television, right? So, yeah, I'd watch the game, Tennessee at Kentucky. And I think, and let me be clear here, I don't hold the same resentment towards John Calipari that most Memphis fans do, even though I grew up a Memphis fan and I'm a graduate of the University of Memphis. I don't hate John Calipari. I think what he did at Memphis was amazing. I think it should be appreciated. I think at the moment he was offered the job that he took, 99% of people on this planet would have taken that job. So I don't hate John Calipari the way most Memphis fans do. But most Memphis fans seem to. And so I assume that on Saturday night, you probably root for Tennessee to hand Kentucky a loss, second straight loss inside Rupp Arena, because I know that Memphis fans, by extension, hate Orange and hate Tennessee, or at least don't like the way people from Tennessee who wear Orange look down at you. But there's really nothing that unlikable, and I said this earlier in the week, about Rick Barnes or this Tennessee team. It's a whole roster filled with sub-100 prospects who have become incredible college basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Penny and Rick Barnes might not see eye-to-eye on everything, but, like, Rick Barnes is a completely, like, there's nothing, if you knew him or you were around him, there's nothing about him that would make you hate him. So I would assume that Memphis fans will be rooting for Tennessee to beat the former Memphis coach, but I don't know that it's clear-cut. Where are you guys on this?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Tennessee fans are insufferable. Like, I really do not enjoy interacting with them on Twitter.
See, this is where I think I have to deal with what you've had to deal with, like, every day of my life from five different fan bases, right?
Right.
Because it really is as simple as I wake up every morning or go to bed every night, one of the two, ranking 26 basketball teams.
Right.
And every morning when I tweet a link to it, there is somebody connected to some fan base, and it's usually more than one person connected to some fan base, who cannot wait to tell me I'm biased or stupid or I don't deserve my job or they can't believe I get paid to do what I do. And it's all based on if I have Kentucky ranked fifth instead of fourth, or I have Purdue ranked, you know, 16th instead of 12th. It's just based on these very subjective things. So I totally get where you're coming from. Like, I've had it with Tennessee fans. They're ridiculous. But just trust me when I tell you, every fan base in America is just like the Tennessee fan base. You're just dealing with that very specific thing. But at one time or another, if you branched out, you deal with that from every fan base in America. They're really not any different than anybody else.
Okay, so but my thing is they're number one, right? Like, they're the team is number one. I mean, is there another fan base that that acts like this when they're number one?
Oh, Kentucky.
Okay.
All right. They get the best prospects almost every year. They're in the top 10 almost every year. They go to the Final Four nearly every other year on average under John Calipari, and they're still just mad about everything all the time. I mean, I'm not joking. I have them ranked sixth right now, and they're fifth in the AP poll. My reasoning is very simple. I have Michigan 5, Kentucky 6, as opposed to Kentucky 5, Michigan 6. And if you look at the resumes, it's really not close. Michigan clearly has a better resume than Kentucky. But Kentucky fans look at that exact same thing, and it doesn't matter how many times I explain it. And they think that I really, like, do not deserve to have a job discussing basketball on a national level or any level whatsoever. They're, like, just – they're mad about nothing. Like, I don't want to discount what it is I do every day, but, like, it really doesn't matter. Like, what are you mad about? And yet they're mad every single day. And I don't think that's unique to Kentucky fans. I think there's more Kentucky fans, so it can be a little more overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, honestly, any fan base in America, if they have certain fans that fall under their umbrella, that if you slight them even a little bit in their own mind, not in reality, but just in their own mind, they come at you in a way that is completely irrational. And if you want to really find out where this is true, go talk to fan bases who are engulfed in scandal, or just dealing with a little bit of scandal. This is, to me, the most interesting part, because you'll take people who would never try to rationalize it if it was connected in to any other fan base. These same people, you take them and you connect the scandal to their school, and they try to rationalize it in ways that are just nonsensical. Whether it's Florida State fans with Jameis Winston, or now Kansas basketball fans with all the stuff connected to Kansas basketball. Like, if you took the Kansas story and made it about Kansas State, Kansas fans would be like, oh my God, that's the dirtiest program in America. They should be shut down. But you make it about Kansas, and they don't see it the same way. Like, Florida State, like, benefited from an alleged rapist. And if you took that story, the exact Jameis Winston story, and you connected it to Florida, or Fresno State, it doesn't matter, anywhere else, Florida State fans would say, oh my God, how could you play that guy and celebrate that guy and defend that guy? But you connect it to Florida State fans think everybody else doesn't understand what's happening. So it's just a little bit, like, sports fans in general,
right?
Sports can make otherwise reasonable people be completely irrational about the subject at hand.
Gary, if this game goes as you expect it to, who wins and what's the difference? Is it Tennessee's front line? Are we really saying, I don't think Cal has lost two in a row at Rupp. Who do we think wins and what's the difference?
I'm picking Tennessee, if only because, I'm not going to pick against Tennessee till they lose. They've been awesome this year. Till they lose again, I should say. But also, and this is the other thing, that because fans are, and I shouldn't say fans like just across the board, certain fans. Because certain fans are so emotionally invested in games,
mm-hmm.
they and things, they assume that you are too. And they assume that you root for this and you root against that. Here's the honest to God, hand on my heart, on my son's lives truth. I want Tennessee to win a game, but not because I love Tennessee and hate Kentucky, not because I like Rick and hate John, because Duke fans consistently tweet me mm-hmm. every morning mm-hmm. saying that Duke should be number one in the country because mm-hmm. they had better wins than Tennessee
yep.
because they played a different schedule than Tennessee. I don't want to have to hear from them if yeah. Tennessee loses. So now I'm just rooting for Tennessee
because I
want Duke fans to shut up. That's it. And so I will want Tennessee to win the game. I was, and listen, I'm wrong about just as much as I'm right, but on this specific thing, I was ahead of the curve on Tennessee being an exceptional basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So I want Tennessee to win. I actually do think Tennessee can win. And if there is a difference in the game, I'm just going to chalk it up to they're older.
Yeah.
They're more sure of themselves. They don't really have bad outings.
No.
I mean, I know that they really don't get bothered.
Yep.
It's incredibly impressive
yep.
what Rick has turned that thing into. With the help, obviously, of Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone. I mean, it's a great college basketball team. And what I know that, you know, they haven't played a currently ranked team since they played Gonzaga
mm-hmm.
more than 2 months ago. So if you wanted to try to discount what it is they've been doing,
yeah.
that's where you start the conversation.
Right.
But I would counter with this. Because I can't argue against that. It's true. Like, they haven't played a currently ranked team since they played Gonzaga. But they are 23-1. They only lost is a neutral court loss in overtime to a Kansas team that was at full strength at the time.
Yep.
In other words, it had Udoka Azubuike. They're the only team in the country, Tennessee, that hasn't lost in regulation. The only loss is an overtime loss. And of these 23 wins, 20 of them are double-digit wins.
Mm.
Of their 11-0, they're 11-0 in the SEC. Of those 11 wins, 9 of them are by double digits, and the average margin of victory is 16.6 points. So there's nothing they can do about the – and this is the argument I make in their favor. They scheduled aggressively outside of the league. They played Kansas on a neutral. They played Louisville on a neutral. They
yeah.
went to Memphis and played. And I know Memphis isn't great, but still going on the road to
yeah,
play
Yeah, that's a
Memphis,
hard place to win, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, well, ask UCF,
yep.
right? I mean, UCF is a projected NCAA tournament team, got beat by 20 at Memphis. So they went to Memphis, handled that, really no issues. And then they started playing their league schedule that the SEC gave them. It's not their fault that they haven't played a currently ranked team since they played Gonzaga. This is the league schedule that the SEC gave them. Now, coming up, they've got at Kentucky. They've got a game with LSU. They've got at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
It gets tougher. So if you think they're fraudulent, we'll find out soon enough.
Yep.
But I'm not going to hold that against them, that they haven't played a currently ranked team against Gonzaga, especially because it's not like they've just been sneaking by. They've been destroying anybody put in front of them. And at least from a purely basketball perspective, if you can take your fan allegiance and set it over here, that's a really fun basketball team to watch.
Yep,
I know Memphis fans might not want to hear it, but that's a good basketball team made up by what appears to be good dudes who have just exceeded all expectations individually and also collectively.
We are, of course, talking to Gary Parrish. You can hear him every afternoon here on 92.9 from 4 till 6. Read him and watch him over at CBS Sports. All right, I know this is technically a competitor, but I got to ask you because it's going to be relevant in just a second. Jay Billis has an index, a Billis index, where he ranks teams 1 through 68, Gary. And yesterday, the University of Memphis came in at number 57, ahead of Temple, which beat Memphis, and ahead of South Florida, which also beat Memphis. Are you now going to poll attack Jay Billis?
I would never. I don't even know that I can consider Jay a competitor. He's just at a different level than most people who speak about college athletics. He's terrific. He's one of my favorite guys, and not just like because he's really good at his job. Like on a personal level, like you won't find anybody, I don't think, who doesn't like Jay Billis a lot. He's just he's a good dude, good father, good husband, just a really like good dude. So I would never put myself in a position where I was a poll attacking Jay Billis, but and I don't even think that's outlandish.
Yeah, you would. Oh, come on, you would kill if it was like
said yesterday. Not the South Florida one, the Temple one. Those a little bit of an eyebrow.
If it was like some dude from the Houston Chronicle, you would waste him.
No, not on this. There would be something I would find because I find it every week. But on this, I mean, honestly, the computer numbers between Temple and Memphis aren't that different.
They're not.
I think at KenPom, Memphis is, I should look it up, but just a handful of spots behind Temple. And to the extent that they have that head-to-head meeting, it's like Temple 75th at KenPom.
Yeah, 77.
Mm-hmm. Like there's not much difference. And to the extent that they have this head-to-head matchup, it was played at Temple as opposed to at FedEx Forum. If you took Memphis Temple, put it at FedEx Forum, Memphis would be projected to win the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could go to Jay Billis's rankings, and I apologize, I haven't seen them yet, but I could go there, and I'm assuming because I could do this with almost anybody. I've been doing it for years. I could find something that is impossible to rationally defend, but I don't actually think it would be the Temple over Memphis thing because I do think you could. I would have Temple ranked ahead of Memphis. All of the computers have Temple ranked ahead of Memphis.
That Houston win, right, Gary? I mean, that's what gives them the edge, right? The win over Houston, right?
Yeah, but even that, and listen, I'm a big win-loss guy. Like, you win the game, you lose the game. I'm not going to make excuses for the losses or try to explain away the wins. Like, from a bottom-line perspective, wins are wins, losses are losses. But all that said, the win over Houston was a bang bang block charge call at the buzzer.
It was
If Temple, it's called for a block instead of Houston being called for a charge, that's not a win. And Houston's undefeated right now, so that is a big win on the resume for Fran Dumphy's team. But it's really just a one possession that went in their favor as opposed to against them, and so. Again, if I'm ranking AAC teams, I'm going to have Temple ahead of Memphis because I think it's very easy to make that case from a computer perspective, from a win perspective, from everything. But I don't think it's crazy and indefensible to have Memphis ahead of Temple, even if I wouldn't do it.
When you look at UCF eye test-wise, does that look like a tournament team to you? I question it.
No, you're reasonable to question it. The only reason it looks like an NCAA tournament team is because we have to put 68 teams
the numbers
in the tournament.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a numbers thing. Sometimes people talk about college basketball teams and they say, that's not a tournament team. I deal with it in the top 25 and 1 every day.
Mm-hmm.
They go, people will say, there's no way that team is a top 10 team. I say, okay, really? Well, then put 10 teams ahead of them.
Show me the other ones. Right.
Yeah, show me who you think should be in there. Because you get to a point where it doesn't. There is no rule that says the team ranked eighth has to be great. It's just that the team ranked eighth has to be better than the team ranked ninth or 10th or 11th. And that's basically what we deal with the NCAA tournament. People, you know, I always tell folks before, or I advise folks, before you start talking about, and really this is an important lesson, I think, for folks on television, because not all of them do this. I try to. Before you start talking about who's in and who's out, put pen to paper. Fill it out.
Right.
Because what you'll find every year, without exception, is that you're going to put teams in that on a very surface level you don't think are that good, that you don't think are worthy. You're going to have them in the bracket because somebody's got to fill out the bracket. Yeah. You can't have 47 teams for a 68-team tournament. You can't have 66 teams for a 68-team tournament. You have to put 68 in. And if you start putting pen to paper right now, I really don't think there's going to be a way you're going to get to fill out all of the brackets without having Central Florida in it. So I hear you. Like, I don't know that they're great. I'm not even sure they're good. But if you were starting a tournament right now, they'd probably be in it, sure.
That's what's so unfortunate about Memphis. Not to interrupt, John, but there's a couple opportunities there where you could have been that team. You know what I'm saying? If you hold on versus Texas Tech, if you don't lose at Tulsa, you know, a couple of more of these, the South Florida one, that the opportunity was there. It feels like, you know what I mean?
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It feels like right now, it feels like they're so far away from the NCAA tournament at large conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you you hold on against Texas Tech on a neutral, that's the top 15 team.
No
right
doubt.
I mean, that'd be a
And you controlled that game for a long time.
Cincinnati, they controlled. Same way.
You controlled the, well, okay. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, okay,
35 exactly minutes. Right.
They control Texas Tech.
It's the same thing. It's literally the same exact thing that happened with, I mean, come on.
So if you hold on against Texas Tech,
no doubt.
Hold on against Cincinnati, and let's not say the Tulsa game because they got blown out. Most people got one of those on their schedule. Let's just say you flip. Let's keep it simple. You flip Texas Tech and Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of being 15 and 10, you're 17 and 8.
Yep.
You are 8-4 in the AAC, and I bet you right now you're, just based on those results, top 60 at KenPom, and you're very much
in
the at-large conversation. And again, that's not asking them to do anything they weren't doing for roughly 33 minutes. We're not just saying, you know, if they'd have beat Tennessee, because they were never going to beat Tennessee.
Right.
But they had Texas Tech beat. They had Cincinnati beat. And they just, I don't want to say fell apart. They just did what mediocre teams do, which is get overwhelmed late by a superior team. But if you could flip those results, we'd be talking about totally different things right now.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting stuff. GP, I always appreciate
Thank
it, man.
You for this,
Thank
man.
You.
All right, brother. I'll see you. Bye.
Yep, he is Gary Parrish. You can listen to him every afternoon from 4 till 6. We'll come back. Brian Billick is going to join us. He's going to be on the call for the Memphis Express game this weekend at the Liberty Bowl. So we'll talk to him about that and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.